Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesans, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everyone. Once again, you're joined by me, Hydro, and my co-host, Dr. X. And for this episode, we are joined by Ochakun. Hi, Ochakun.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. So tell us a bit about what you do and what you're working on.
Mostly, I just make lolly show drawings. And right now, people mostly know me for the RPG Maker game that I've been working on since last year, more or less.
And what's the name of the game?
It was called Maze Summer Vacation. It's mostly as a slice of life visual novel, except instead of clicking on things on screen, you just walk with your character around. But it plays like a visual novel, 90% of the time.
Now, I remember when I was talking with you before you came on the episode here, that the game, when you created the game, you wanted it to be like a very cozy, kind of relaxing game. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep, indeed. Let me show you, talk more about it.
Well, yeah, because I think that's interesting because for Dr. X and myself, us as game developers, when we came up with Insexual Awakening, we also wanted to have the game be very... We didn't want to have a game where you would have like negative consequences or like bad ends, like so many... like hentai games tend to have, where like if you make the wrong choice or like you play the game for like an hour and then you go down the wrong path and then your character like dies or whatever, and then or you completely lock yourself out of a relationship and there's no way to go back and you have to reload the save. Like, that was something we wanted to avoid, and it sounds like you wanted to go with kind of a similar kind of gameplay where there wasn't really any like bad end or any kind of like there were no like wrong choices.
I could think of a few games that gave me a similar experience to what you just described, but yeah, pretty much my idea from, you know, playing the similar games for a few years was just learning from the things that I didn't like and making my kind of ideal game. So it's mostly, you just walk around and you talk to NPCs, and the world is very small. The NPCs stand out, so there's never a whole lot of doubt what you're supposed to do, and things just happen naturally without you having to worry about stats or grinding or consequences. And whenever something more dramatic is about to happen, the game usually gives you a choice to say, nah, I don't want to see that. That's more or less how it goes. It's very much supposed to feel like a relaxed vacation. Yeah,
that's good. So, in the game, like, who do you play as?
You play as the main character called Mei. The title is a little bit of a pun, because the game takes place in Mei, and the main character is called Mei, so it's Mei some vacation, because it's Mei in Mei. She's a little girl who's very innocent when the game starts, and the game is mostly like a slice of life comedy, and the comedy comes from the fact that the main character is very innocent, unlike everybody else around her. So she's always getting dragged into very lewd situations where she acts very embarrassed, sometimes gets undressed, and all kinds of funny things happen.
Nice.
It's mostly an ENF game, as people call it, but it is going to the exhibitionist, should you say.
So there's exhibitionism, like what other kind of fetishes are in the game?
Well, the main ones are basically that, like ENF or EUF, which are short for embarrassed naked female or embarrassed undressed female. The exhibitionist part, you could call it, because at some point she will be forced to expose herself. Well, quote unquote, the forced. There's also a lot of Omurashi, a lot of me, that is mostly optional, but a few people will complain a little bit about it. There's also shoulders in the game, not just lolling. And there's a little bit of incels that are gonna be working a little bit more in the future.
Ah, nice. Nice. One of our personal favorites.
Just a little bit of everything I like, basically.
So you said that there are players who complained about the P content?
It happens now and then. It's kind of a thing that some people go into a game because they have a very specific kink and they want to see only that kink. But unfortunately, I have many, so I'm putting many in the game. And sometimes people run into things they don't like.
Did you decide to change it so it's optional?
Sometimes it's optional. Sometimes it isn't just because I want to surprise the player or it just fits the scene. But most of the time, people can opt out of stuff. Yeah, most of the time, you just get it, like, the game revolves mostly around you walking around and meeting people. There are three main neighbors that you interact with a few other characters in other areas. And most of them just have an introduction that gives you a general idea of what their vibe is going to be. So if you see the character's introduction, you can expect more of that later. As well as how it goes.
Is this the first game you've ever made?
No, but it's the first time I'm publishing. I've been playing around with RPG Maker for a while, but yeah, it's the first one I decided to post, and somehow it got kind of popular. I'm surprised.
I think it sounds good and smart that you didn't make it like super ambitious, and you kind of kept the format a little simpler for your first game that you're publishing or you know sharing with other people, because some people like they want their first game to be like, well, it's going to be like a farming simulator and it's going to have all these seasons and you're on an alien planet and you're going to have like 20 romance options and marriage.
Yeah,
it's a lot for a first game. So it was smart to not do too much for this game that you're making.
Yeah, I also used a few other engines before, like Game Maker Studio. I pitched RPG Maker for this one precisely because it's very easy to use and I can make the contract very fresh with it.
Yeah, like, I mean, the Dr. X and I always say that RenPy and RPG Maker are kind of the two go-to, very straightforward engines to use. And, you know, especially if you're doing games that mainly are just images and you're not going to be, like, walking around a whole lot, RenPy is the go-to. But if you do want a character that, like, walks around like a little overworld map, like Pokemon, basically, then RPG Maker is the next easiest one to get into.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I would recommend for most people to start with RenPy because it's fairly easy to just make a simple visual novel with it, and you can kind of learn some of the basics or principles of game development and programming if you're not already familiar with that. But yeah, if you want to make something where you walk around. And it's like your first game or one of your first games, and RPG Maker is definitely a good choice.
You use RenPy, but one thing I like about RPG Maker is that you can make a game without knowing any code. You just use the program's interface and you can make everything.
Yeah, that's true.
If you do want to get it deeper, you can start making JavaScript magic. But if you're going to do that, I would just recommend you picking a better engine because everybody hates using RPG Maker to code in JavaScript in general.
So there's May. What can you tell us about the other characters?
The main three neighbors will be Abby, which is the main character's cousin. She is kind of a little devil. She's a little older than the main character, but she's also a huge pervert and is always making sure the main character is getting into little situations. And always gaslighting the main character into going to them and thinking, okay, maybe I'm not gonna be doing something bad. Oh no, something else. But this Amber, the athletic tomboy, very classic trope. She's the most normal looking character, I would say, a first glance character in the game. She is just always optimistic, always doing the right thing, always being nice to the main character. Except she may or may not have a secret identity, which is the shoulder of the main characters. His thing is that he's very obsessed with paranormal stuff. So he's always walking around just trying to gather evidence of the existence of, you know, like cryptids and other kinds of supernatural stuff. And the fun of the game is that, you know, his quest lines are just when you interact with him, you can become his assistant and help him, which always ends with me having the short end of it, because May is the one who is getting into the funny situation where Jun is recording everything. You know, he wants evidence to post it online. Though he promises to blur her face out afterwards. And there are a few more characters, but they were very... Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of content, except for one. If you go to the beach, which just needs you to get a swim super, you can get blackmailed into working for a little rich girl, a Mijo-sama called Betty. She's younger than me, actually, and the thing about her is that she makes me do a lot of loose stuff, but even she doesn't understand quite what she's doing, because she's actually just mimicking her mother's behavior. So that's kind of the funny show. So she's just ordering me to do a lot of stuff, but she's actually very innocent about it herself and doesn't quite understand what she's doing, so she's also learned as she goes. If you go to the city, you can also work in a restaurant where you have a nice little waitress who may or not be a boy, and who acts mostly as a nice standby to me and guide her around. Those are basically the characters with the most content right now, though I'm gonna be adding a few more later.
Nice.
So it sounds like you have a pretty good variety in terms of, like, in terms of personalities and in terms of body types, because it sounds like you have a character, you know, you have a loli character who is younger than Mei, younger than the main character. You have one that's a little older. You have one that's around the same age. You have a Shota. So you've kind of put in a really good variety for having it be very loli focused and, you know, Shota focused.
Most of the characters are, you know, elementary school or middle school age, but there are a few older ones. But that's pretty much the range from 9 to 14.
How old is the oldest one?
The oldest one is 15, which is the waitress. All the ages aren't explicitly mentioned in the game because I don't want it to get banned from some places. So I just sneaking the numbers into the character's level, because this is RPG Maker, so the characters have levels and HP. Mei is just level 11.
Yeah. How convenient.
Yep. Very convenient.
Are you mostly posting the updates on Bereg?
Yeah, on Twitter before I get banned eventually. Barag. I say Bereg. I just call it Barag. And also
I think
Bereg
is actually the proper pronunciation, but we get so used to calling it Bereg. So
what did I say?
You said Bereg, I think.
I think I pronounced it Barag. I don't know. Okay. It doesn't fucking matter. Who cares?
but Barag was officially like the proper way to pronounce it, but whatever. But yes, continue.
I don't even know what language that is. So. But yeah, it's mostly there. And also AHF. The game is also on some forums, on the forums like F95, before it eventually gets banned. Somehow it's been surviving there for over a year. So, okay. And also Gold Corner.
That is surprising.
Yeah, I just had a big disclaimer saying all characters are 18 plus, so people just believe it, I guess. I mean, they don't try. I'm sure there's some people reporting the game, but somehow it's still there.
Yeah, it's pretty inconsistent on F95 because our games got banned there, right, Hydro? I think, are they still banned?
Oh yeah. Well, what was funny about our situation was we actually were kind of the goalpost for the first game. Like, in other words, our game was on there, and then they kind of put it under review, and there was a lot of back and forth, and eventually they let the game on there, and it was like a big point of contention for some people, and it was on there, and it was good for a while. It was probably on there for maybe like 2 years or maybe 2.5 years, and then they suddenly banned it. But our second game was instantly banned. Like we posted it and it instantly was banned. So we were never allowed to post it at all.
And the funny thing is, despite that, if you go on F95 and search for the Shota tag, you're still gonna find games there. It's really not very consistent because you'll still find.
Yeah.
I haven't tried searching for Loli there, but I wouldn't be that surprised if you search for Loli and you're still gonna find something.
I mean, yeah, the Loli tag exists. You can just click on any log game, click on the tag Loli, and there's thousands of games there. I tried researching a little bit about this in the forum, and I saw a thread that's now closed, I believe, where the moderators were discussing the issue, and apparently they're just playing safe. I don't know how the situation is now, but the server was in a place where Loli show is legal, but they also said that authorities didn't care if people if the site got reported enough, they probably would just go and shut it down. But to play safe, whenever a virtual game gets enough attention, they have a tendency to shut it down, just in case.
So. Yeah, that would explain our games.
Yeah.
They did get pretty popular. It's too popular, and then yeah. they had to shut it down.
So I just enjoying while I'm all popular there.
Well, we want your game to get more popular, of course, but you know in that case, then you'll just use Barrog, and you'll use ATF, and you could use Athy. Athy would also be okay with it too to post updates there. It's good though that you've at least gotten it spread out and you're able to post it in different places, but you have backup plans because that's always good.
You always need those, unfortunately. I did play your game, by the way.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you want to talk about that now, but...
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead, what do you think?
Very fun. I'm not sure when I know if I did all the content for one character, but I've seen most of with the main character, Caesar, I believe. Her name is... Yeah, I just forgot her name. I played this game, like, earlier today. I forgot her name.
Well, the twin sister is Sam, and yeah, the older sister is Kira.
Yeah. Most of the content for the little sister. And that was also going great for Julie as well. It's very fun. It's also very much like you described. Like, I'm not afraid of anything. I just go talk to the character and stuff happens.
Yep.
The most metagame I had to do was just using the money. I had to just buy a lot of books and confidence. So my character it was a little funny because in the first days, whenever I tried going outside, my character would say, "Oh, I'm not confident for that yet." What do you mean? You have social anxiety? I imagine maybe. You just wanted to lock the player out of some condition, but it was a little funny. Does it mean the character look better?
It's boldness. You gotta have boldness to go out there.
how much boldness do you need? Maybe if for some people it is, especially I guess when you're a kid and you know, like leaving home without your mom.
I mean, I'm very shy, so I understand that, but usually in video games, you usually don't have to manage that kind of stuff, so...
Yeah, you're like traveling the world and you can do whatever you want. You can like leave home and never come back, basically.
Shota traveling to Africa and stuff. Yep.
Yeah, like you're channeling Pokemon and you can just fight against a criminal organization, reclaim a city of... capture little god in a little ball.
All while you're only like 12 years old.
And you save the world too.
Yep.
And in the most recent game, there's like a toddler basically on the Elite Four or whatever.
Yep, it's great.
Oh my god. Yeah,
I love it.
Everyone's all with each other, which is a little fun.
Yeah, Pokemon's a great source of lollies and Shotos.
Oh, that's what we...
Oh yeah,
and I was just gonna say that you're definitely a true lollicon going after the lollies first in the first in Sexual Awakening. So you went after Sam and Julia first. Sounds like
yep.
I'm probably gonna do a little bit of punch for the other characters. I like the big Caesar too. Like the body traps of most of the characters are really my thing, but I liked the first scenes and her interactions with the main character. So I might do that just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Good writing can make you enjoy things that you normally wouldn't do, right? That's usually how I do things.
That's great to hear. Yeah, because we have had people. Some people don't like Lolly, but they'll like say like, "Oh, the writing was good enough that I did the routes anyway," or they don't like MILFs and they'll say that. So it is nice to hear people compliment the writing, like that.
And that goes to show how valuable the characters are in these games, right? Because, you know, a game like the ones we're creating, it's very character-centric. Like, that is the main focus, so you have to make them appealing with their different personalities. Their designs, of course, are very important, and, like, how they look. So you pretty much know exactly what appeals to you when you play a game, and when you want to make a game, you go, this is what I want. This is what I want to have, is this variety.
Oh, and I also heard that you were looking for voice actors for your game. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. It started all... Okay, it's not it turned out not very serious, but Perlin Pup gave me the idea. And she played my game on stream a few times, and just started researching all the characters. And she gave the idea, and now I'm considering just going ahead and voice acting the main scenes. The game's pretty big, there's a whole lot of dialogue, but maybe I can just scale down the voice acting and add it for the main scenes, for the main neighbors, for the main character. So only 4 people needed, and not that many scenes, like, there are 4 big scenes for each character, and the, a bunch of little ones. Maybe that would be doable.
I don't know if you've played Fire Emblem Persona, but they kind of do this thing where not every line is individually voice acted, but they will kind of have like interjections or small lines for every scene, for every line.
I haven't played Persona like the other games as you then. Maybe they have a general voice line that just sets the mood of the dialogue, but isn't word for word what the character is saying. They just say 2 words and...
So that's something you could do. And so you could do that and also have... it may be like the most important lines of a scene voice acted directly, but everything else just kind of having those generalized audio voice acting.
I have in mind something like what Genshin Impact does, like the main story scenes have dialogue but not the side quests. But maybe this also helps so it's less jarring the difference between the two. So
yeah, that is something you can consider doing. Yeah. Did a Praline Pup offer to a voice act for your game?
Yes, she did. It's a little funny because, like, she was looking for people to draw Harbinger, and I just went, okay, let me do it. I did a few drawings, and she just went, okay, how about you just make me a lot of free art, and I do you a lot of voice action for free as well. So, that's not free, just exchanging work for work. That's more or less how it's going now. It started out not Mason Vacation. It started out with another game that I'm making. Very slowly. It's like a side project, but I'm trying to make a 3D game now. And it's supposed to have a little bit of voice acting. And it started out was that. But it just eventually went to Mason Vacation 2, which is, you know, a game that's actually playable and published. So I'm probably gonna start with that instead.
Nice. So you're obviously a fan of Loli and Shota. How did you get into that in the first place?
I don't know if there was ever a point where I don't think I remember a point in my life where I wasn't into Loli Show really. Like, even before I was attracted to real people, I was attracted to the little characters in video games. I think maybe the point where I realized that I was like 9 and playing an online game that, you know, it was an RPG, so you could dress and undress your character. And I eventually learned that is a lot more satisfying to dress your character up or in a way you like instead of using the best gear. So the fashion souls all the time. So maybe that's why I like Dark Souls so much, because I just dress my character up instead of using the good equipment. You know, stuff like, you can give your character a bikini, so I'm gonna do a mission on the beach, so why not I use the bikini instead of the best armor I have? That, you know, it probably started out like that. I don't know if that makes much sense.
So were you playing RPG games where you play as like a Loli or a Shota?
Yeah, I don't know how old the characters were supposed to be, but it was the early 2000s, and the characters all had the big heads, like everything was very chibi. There was a character that was supposed to be a 500-year-old immortal warrior, and he just had a big head and big eyes, so he could look kind of Shota-ish, even though he was voiced by an adult with a deep voice too, but we can ignore that. Mostly aesthetics, but yeah.
So early on, you were kind of attracted to the aesthetics of Loli and Shota, or chibi, so they kind of led to each other. Do you remember any specific Loli and Shota characters that you were into when you were younger?
I was pretty much just watching Naruto. I don't know if it was on the account, but I used to like Hinata before the time skip. So she put her started, and I just lost interest in her, but I used to be into her.
Are you saying you lost interest to her when she got older?
Yeah, she got big boobs. It's
just like, oh, no, I'm passing on you now.
I mean, I can enjoy Loli with big boobs, but I can respect, like, you know, look from Kobayashi. Oh yeah, Interrupt and Chris Roberts size, so it's kind of cute for me, even back then.
So you really, you generally prefer petite bodies?
I just like small and cute things in general. Same goes for character designs.
So that explains why, like you were saying, that you play Genshin Impact. So I'm assuming you probably love the Lolly characters in that game.
You bet. I mean, I like a few of the older characters, but you know, it's mostly the little ones, Nahida, especially.
So what do you like about Nahida?
Well, she's cute. She's small. She's barefoot. When she runs, she makes clap 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 sounds instead of normal footsteps. Yeah.
So you're all also into feet then?
Oh yeah. There's a little bit in my game too, but it's not. Oh, there's just one character that has a few good scenes, but he's not up there in the main things that you're gonna be seeing.
Right. So do you have an origin story behind your foot fetish?
I can't remember when it happened. Yeah, I actually can think about what it was. I mean, I can remember the origin story for a few things, like being too furry. Mm. Was watching Made in Abyss. There's usually a gateway drug into that kind of stuff. Kendozilla, I already like Lolly Show. So when I saw Nanachi, which was a furry and small, maybe furries aren't so bad. As more as how we happened.
I mean, the Made in Abyss creator, I mean, that they love like NSFW of their characters too. So that they're already like super great in our book for enjoying that stuff and really being into it.
I know artists who had a very small profile. I think it was like 100 followers on Twitter. They just posted a drawing of Greg being like the main character from Abyss, the Robo Boy. And the author likes the tweet. It was very funny.
isn't there a kind of like pee fetish stuff in Made in Abyss a little bit?
A little bit of it. And also, vomit probably. I'm not sure if the author is also into that, but there's a lot of it. Like, Carlos puke a lot in it. Oh, yeah.
yeah, that's right. That's right. They do. Yeah, because they eat something wrong. Or there's also definitely like, yeah, there's definitely like the main character having to like go to the bathroom a lot and stuff like that. But like that's definitely a thing.
Yeah, the author's barely disguised fetish, basically.
Did you like just toilet?
Oh yes, yeah. I forgot if I told you about this, Dr. X, but there is a part like in Maiden Abyss where she's basically like sitting on a toilet that is basically all these like tongues, and it kind of like licks her butt clean and stuff. And he's just like, oh, this toilet is great. I love this.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not related to the author's fetish whatsoever.
Bro, it's very important to the plot and world building, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. And with Nanachi, it's like, I kind of feel like Nanachi's design is horny too, because they're furry, but like, they still got, their chest is still bare, so it's kind of almost like teasing it, you know what I mean? They're half naked.
I mean, if you just, you know, touch the floor a little bit, maybe you can move it up and get a pick of the nips, maybe. I mean, also those scenes of Gregor and like Rupe like caressing Nanachi's fur, because you know they're very soft. Yeah, they didn't like it, but when Rieko did it, Nanachi started making those faces and blushing. So I think it's very clear what's happening.
Yeah, because I know that Greg at one point he's like kind of like rubbing Nanachi's fur and stuff, and he gets like an erection and stuff, and it's like it's all.
He gets an erection?
Yeah, he does. So, like, damn. Even Nanachi like points out like the stop it. it was really funny. So like it definitely like really lays into the horniness of the Lolly Shota stuff big time. That's why it's a fun anime, but man, it's also very, very dark and very violent too. So
it's so interesting that it has all this horny Lolly Shota stuff, but like normies still like it.
I think that's because of the grimdark stuff. They love the grimdark. So I think it's they're willing to forgive the horny stuff because they love
as long as the kids are also getting killed, then it's fine.
then it's fine. Yeah, then all right. Sure. Pretty much.
Yeah. I guess the writing also helps in that. Like, if there is a good writer, have a tendency to go into the mainstream and pop a few bubbles. That one, they have a very good story. I mean, Berserk is a good example that I think. That story goes into very heavy topics, but it's also very good, so people are always talking about it and always recommending it. A lot of normies know Berserk, even if, you know, it isn't the kind of content that goes mainstream very often.
Right. Yeah, if something is just good in general, then people are more willing to overlook things that they'd have a problem with otherwise.
Well, it looks like it's a gateway drug too. Who knows?
I'm sure like these popular and you know, well regarded animes and stuff that have loli show creators are definitely converting some people.
Oh yeah, they have to, because I mean it's just like, you know, when, well, like the shows that you had watched or video games that you might have played when you were younger, and kind of that's how you kind of got into like certain characters or certain body types. It's the same thing that happens nowadays to people who might be younger or impressionable, and they're watching like an anime or watching a video or playing a video game. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I usually what you like as an adult is very related to what you were exposed to as a kid. So, I mean, that was an example that would bring me. Like, there was an episode involved of girls, yeah, that cartoon, where there was, I don't know what the context was, but there was a scene that for some reason the girls got like a huge slug inside the clothes. It was supposed to be a very gross scene, but Kimmy saw something in that, and that one also went to change clothes and slugs and slimy stuff. I think there's a relationship that I still remember the scene for a reason.
Sometimes with cartoons or stuff, even the ones considered, like, you know, apparently, you know, intended for children or whatever, there can be scenes where you wonder, like, if it was something related to the author's fetish or something for adults or something like that. That especially happened, like, in the 90s and stuff, I think.
Always mentioned in terms of Western cartoons, like, Trolley Spies. I can't remember which one, but people always say every episode has a different king. Like, transformation, little shrinking clothes.
There's probably tentacles involved somehow. Well, I don't know if it had tentacles in it, but apparently it has a lot of stuff that people, you know, have suspicions that are actually fetishes. So,
I mean, I would not be surprised. I didn't watch that show very much because, you know, you don't expect the show to do that kind of thing. Of course, you know, from the just seeing like commercials of it, you wouldn't think that it would do that. But I can totally see that happening. Where they make episodes that kind of cater to the different fetishes, and just kind of funny. I mean, it's really funny to see like shows like Total Drama Island, for example, which are, you know, they're teenagers, but there actually are like scenes that you can find where they actually did draw like the characters topless or showed like, you know, their crotch area, like uncensored. But of course they had to censor for TV, but they actually drew it. Like they intentionally made that stuff,
but they didn't draw the genitals, did they?
I don't think they did, but I know that like there was a scene where like one of the girls like gets her top like ripped off from like a branch or whatever, and like they drew the nipples and everything. But
oh,
like
really?
At the time when they made the episode, they had to censor it, of course. But you can find it, like the uncensored version is there.
Oh, that is interesting. Really, really, I might have to look that up. That is interesting lore for sure.
So it goes to show that there definitely are creators who are definitely horny at the time, and they're probably the totally spies. I'm sure they did make they probably were into all different things, and they were just like, well, this is my creative outlet. This is how I'm gonna do it.
It really makes you wonder, like for example, if there's like a scene in a show where like the characters are like in quicksand or something, you might think like, oh yeah, it's for the story, bro. But then, like, some people are, like, into that. Some people are into the quicksand thing, like, sexually. So when you think about it in that way, it's like, you start being suspicious of everything.
I can totally picture, like, a Totally Spies episode where the spies get, like, tied up in ropes and stuff and, like, you know, that. Or they might be, like, hanging from a rope and... Or possibly they get tied up in a way where like their ass kind of sticks out or something, and at first you're just kind of like, oh, that's so funny that they tied them up like that, but then you're like, when you think about it later on, why they would do that.
I got into the nauseous folk side of the internet, aiming pin posting here. I've met so many people with so many obscure kinks that now I just think anything in the world is gonna be exciting for somebody. Like, I know somebody who's into, like, Incredible Choice, somebody who's into the cold, like, and they showed me a story. The main character is just on the verge of pretty much dying of all the time, like, oh, that's actually kinky for them. I mean, in that case it was, because he had some details, like, the character's juice is just freezing, but she was safe, don't worry, all kind of thing. I imagine there's nothing in the world that people are, that there's somebody out there who isn't into.
That's, yeah, exactly. Like, people have, like a fet, because of Willy Wonka, that movie, people have a fetish of, like ooh, a person turning into, a big blueberry or something.
Yep.
I mean, there's inflation in the movie, right? Like, Eldritch was in trouble.
Yeah. There literally is, like, a visual part where, like, it shows her, like, inflating and getting larger and larger. Yep.
And you have to wonder, like, could that fetish possibly exist if it wasn't, like, if the person didn't see it, like, in a movie or show or something?
So Maybe somebody in the production team was into it.
Yeah, it's very interesting to think about that stuff. And, yeah, and, you know, fetishes are probably more commonplace than people think.
Oh, I just thought. I mean, we usually don't hear about that in movies and Western cartoons very much, but, like, it's really difficult to find an anime from the 80s and 90s that doesn't have fan service. Like, even if it's for kids, it's gonna have some kind of fan service.
Yes. And
big time.
I miss those days, in a way.
Yeah, it needs to come back and have it more.
They just hide it better.
Yeah. It is nice to see, you know, kind of fetishes or, you know, fan servers or sexy stuff that is unashamed. I would like to see more of that in the future. Would like to see that come back. So you do have an omurashi kink. Can you talk more about that? Like how that happened, how you developed that, and what is your specific interest in that?
Well, in that case, I do have a cool memory. As a kid, I was watching High School of the Dead with my brother and cousins because I have plenty of bad influences in my life. And there was a scene where the main character was carrying a lolly in his shoulders. She was very small. And they were actually walking over the wall to avoid the zombies. And the girl apparently has been holding herself for quite some time. And while she was riding his shoulders, she just peed all over him. And apparently that is something for me because I still remember that and made me feel something there. And I still like it now. So, yeah.
So the omurashi kink specifically is like a desperate to pee kink, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's about the discomfort of having to hold it in, and for a long period of time, and then just seeping into everything you do. Maybe you need to talk to somebody and you're holding it. Maybe you're having to fight and you're holding it. Maybe you have to walk to a different place. Maybe you're trying to find a bathroom and you can't, and you have to go to a different place. You know, it's kind of like that, at least for me. And there's the final release and the embarrassment of, you know, wearing your clothes and in public when that happens, but that just leads into the exceptionism kink as well.
Right. I remember you talking about your game earlier and you're talking about embarrassment being part of the game.
It's like the main thing. Like, the main character is very innocent, but she's always unlucky to be dragged into all kinds of situations. I mean, it's all the player's fault, but you know, you're the one who is choosing to interact with the stuff. But I just make the main character, like, she isn't stupid, but she's dumb enough to justify the player intentionally walking her towards a very obvious trap, you know? And
nice.
There's a hidden issue mechanic in the game, because they're like, there are vending machines around and you can buy orange juice from it. And if you drink orange juice, she makes a little comment like, oh, orange juice is the best, but then you can drink it again. And she is just saying, maybe I should go to the bathroom. And if you drink it again, she just starts holding her skirt and like pressing down and say, I really need to use the bathroom. And if you drink it again, she ends up being herself on the spot. So there's also an element in the game.
That's a clever Easter egg. I like that.
Yeah, that's fun. That's definitely fun. Like, I do like having like hidden Easter eggs where they're not, it's not completely obvious to tell you what you do, but I like that idea that like, oh, well, what happens if I keep drinking this orange juice? Is the dialogue going to be different? And then you suddenly start to see what might happen. And for sometimes for some people, like getting an Easter egg that might be like a kink that they're into is even more exciting when it's like a discovered one that they didn't expect. Like they like it because it's like, you know, it's an unexpected thing, but it's like the kink they're into. And so it's like, oh, man, it's like feels even more jubilation from it.
I bet the people who like saw the character say that they need to go to the bathroom, like they're like, fuck yes, I'm onto something here.
Yep.
So you're into the, you know, the desperate to pee and then, you know, the final release stuff and the embarrassment. Are you also into the water sports or is it just the, you know, the peeing yourself thing?
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's real. There's a little bit of even pee drinking in my game. So it happens sometimes. And also just being out a lot of people, like, I spoil. There's a few scenes between the Lori, the main character of the Lori, and the Shota boy, where they get into a few situations with paranormal stuff. And, you know, sometimes it just happens that they're put into a complicated situation, like when the boy wants to record evidence of that aliens exist, and so he comes up with the genius plan to dress up as cows and go to the park. It just so happens that aliens abduct them and start doing experiments and probing them. And one side effect of the medicine they give them is that since the bladder, so they just start peeing on one another. That's one thing that happens in the game. And in the restaurant, there's a scene that the client sometimes will ask. She's the office lady kind. She doesn't draw anything, she's just a nameless NPC that she's always there frustrated drinking. And sometimes she'll ask for a special kind of drink. If you choose to entertain the purchase, you may can be in a cup and give it to her, and she will get a tip. More or less, are you?
So yeah, cool. So you put in that fetish into different scenes. That's cool.
Yeah. Basically, my way of going around is if I can write a fun enough scene to justify it happening. You know, because people always just give me ideas. Oh, ideas, yeah, that. But then, okay, how can I write this in a scene that justifies it happening? You know, it's supposed to be a comedy game. I'm just not gonna make things happen for no reason. Even if the logic is very absurd, it has to be some logic for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Of course, we still want there to be some believability in the universe that doesn't just feel like a string of random events. So Hyder, did you ever get into the pee stuff yourself?
I never did, but I can see why it has like an appeal. Like I mean, just hearing about like the different scenarios that you were mentioning, like the office lady who like asks for a special drink, or the alien stuff, like I can see like where that those scenarios are very, very fun, and they're very like creative. So but I personally have never gotten into it. I'm much more like, for me, all I'd have to exchange to make that stuff work would be just like having the lolly squirting into like the cup or something like that instead.
Or like, and, it could be a Shota coming to the cup.
I mean, I literally was thinking of that, like because that stuff I'm big time into, like that stuff I really, really like coming on food, coming into drinks, like that stuff. That's super my jam. So
it'll happen in my game, one very secret scene that you're probably gonna miss if you play it, but it happens not in a short term, it's even an older character, but it happens.
See, that's fun because it's like a secret scene that you might miss, and then you might get it, and it's like again, it's like on the one hand, you know, you want to make like stuff obvious to players, but on the other hand, it can be fun to make certain setups where if they take the effort to either look somewhere or explore around, that they kind of get rewarded with something. And I think in a game like RPG Maker, it's more possible to do that because you have a character that you can kind of roam around with. And it's kind of funny because I've just been replaying Deltarune, right? Well, which Deltarune has that same kind of like running around like with your character and stuff, and it does have clever things in it where, for example, like if you get through a cutscene and the character's just kind of like, all right, let's go, Chris, and then you can move to the right, but you can also just go backwards to the left, and if you go to the left, the character's just kind of like, oh well, you want to go back, Chris, and like talk to these people, all right, I guess we can do that. And it's kind of like and all you were simply doing was just choosing to go to the left instead of to the right. Yeah, and so that kind of stuff, like very, very straightforward choices that you could make, gets you to have additional dialogue with the character, or possibly a different cutscene, and that kind of stuff is fun.
There's one scene like that in my game at the very beginning, which people probably like because they always comment about it. It's at the very beginning, because Major's got home, and she kind of got ran over by a bike, so she's all dirty, so she takes a bath. Meanwhile, her parents are just moving stuff between the car and the house. So when May leaves, she forgets to shake her towel to the bath. So when she leaves, she's just supposed to go straight downstairs. Upstairs, I mean, to her room. But since it's an RPG Maker game, you can walk around. And usually when you're making a game like that, you have to think about, okay, how can the player go the wrong way and break the game? And so when doing that, I just, what if the player instead of going up, they just went through the door? And so I add a little secret scene where if you go to the door instead, you run into May's dad, who's bringing stuff upstairs, and she went to him, and they're both very embarrassed, and he's like, oh, you should, I know, okay, you're a little old, but you should be getting, I know you know what the hell the words are used to, but it was something in the lines of, you're a little grown up, you should be getting, you shouldn't be running around the house naked like that. No. Very into the embarrassment kind of thing. I can open it right here and read that one, but anyway.
That's cool, so it's like kind of more Easter egg stuff.
So, you miss a little things. Most of the time, I just want the player to be able to find everything if they try hard enough without having to reload the game, but it's one of the few instances where it happens. Yeah, okay, I just look it up here. Yeah, he just says, look, mate, you're already at an age you should be getting conscious about this kind of thing. So go upstairs and get dressed already. And yeah, he just goes, oh, what was I thinking? That saw me naked. He saw everything. And that kind of stuff. That's how we go. So if you like embarrassment, you're gonna like it. Hopefully.
Yes, it sounds like anyone who is really into embarrassed lollies will be eating good with this game.
Yep. And what you were saying, Dr. X, was like it's nice when you can get that balance of where you can get the majority of like the main content of the game, but there's like little bits and pieces of like, well, if you explore around a little more, or if you interact with these characters, or you do this a few times, that you'll get an additional like little scene. Like that's pretty fun.
Yes, it is fun. Yeah.
My biggest inspirations making this game was a little game called Daily Lives of My Countryside. Maybe you know it?
Yep, I've heard of that one, yep.
Yeah, well, I really like the game, but it has an issue where finding the scenes is very difficult. The game has a guide. There's a guide in the character's phone. You can just look up the phone and see each of the character's routine. They have a very complex routine, not just daily, but also weekly. So every day of the week, they're gonna be in a different place doing something different. And you can also open a text file in the game and just check even more stuff. There's a very detailed and complex guide for getting everything. So there's a lot of character in the game who is very nice, but to get her scene, I believe you need to not study a single day throughout the week, because on the last day of the week, you're gonna do a test and your character is gonna get a zero in a test because you didn't study even one bit. And if you do that, you'll have access to the lowest questline later. Now, the game has a both a clock and the weekdays, so I only found out about that after I already had studied. So, okay, I unlocked out of this culture. That means if I want to have this thing, I'll have to first complete this week, do the test, not get a zero because I already studied a few days back. Now I'm gonna have to do the entire next week again, and after that, if I remember to not study a single time, maybe I will lock the same. So that game has that issue. It's fine. The game has a lot of content, but like naturally playing, I just found like 20% of it. Most of the content in the game, when I played, I don't know if it's different now, most of the content there was very difficult to find. So this is something I drew out and just decided, okay, in my game, which is takes a lot of inspiration for them, I'm gonna make sure everything is very easy to find. The player is never gonna be lost.
That's good.
And everybody will be available for you. But basically, most quests happen during the day because my game also has a clock. Most things happen during the day. Some things happen at night. Usually, it will be like you meet a character during the day and they tell you, okay, see me at night. You can just go and see them at night. And if you miss them, it doesn't matter. They're going to be waiting for you every single night in front of their house until you finally remember to meet them.
Yeah, I like that. It does make for a more comfy experience, and I think feel like it's all that's especially important for porn games, because I mean, you know, fapping is a big part of that, and you don't want to put too many barriers for the fapping, in my opinion.
Just give an example of things that, you know, the fapping that goes into the development. I have a friend who also was making a game, and he was very difficult to use that platform, but he made sure that the entire game can be played with the mouse. So you move with the mouse, you jump with the mouse. Doing characters are frog, so the game's all about aiming with the mouse and jumping. And the entire game revolves around that. You click to jump, the left click, and you interact with stuff with the right click. So literally all the game you can interact with one hand.
Nice. You can multitask. You can masturbate while you're jumping or frogging around.
Yeah. Whenever I gave a suggestion for something like, oh, the controls here are kind of confusing, can you do something? He said, no, that will need you to use the left hand, so I'm not letting you. I like that.
I mean, it's not just a joke that, like, they talk about, like, oh, I can play this game with one hand. Like, that there are people that do want to be able to play the game with one hand. Like they do.
Yes.
Because, you know, you want to be able to click through the scenes while also fapping, or you want to be able to, like, walk around with the character or, like, go to the scenes. That's why visual novels are great, because you can do everything with the mouse. Like, every single thing can be done with the mouse. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely important in porn games. It's like, really important to think about it.
So, Ocha, do you have a feature in your game where you can, like, replay a scene?
As I do, it wasn't there initially, so it was kind of a band-aid thing, but there's a recollection one. If you interact with the main character's diary, you can, you know, check statistics, check your progress in different scenes, which also tells you if you've done all the content for one character in that update, or in that quest line. Because, you know, sometimes people will just walk around trying to find a character to know if there's something new for them. Now, I don't even show them. And the diary also lets you reveal its scenes. It's a little wonky because, you know, I didn't make the game thinking about it, so I feel the scenes don't work properly. So, you know, I just play the dialogue and check, so I don't have the characters, the dialogue and images. I don't have the character walking inside the scene, but most of the times it works.
That's good. Yeah, and I think that's kind of part of, like, it's almost part of, like, having the player not miss anything, and then, like, I don't know if they put the game down for, like, a few months and then come back, then they don't necessarily have to start a new game to, like, replay a scene and, like, kind of get caught back up.
My scenes also have choices, but most of them have choices. Most of the time, the choice is usually around, do you want to see this or not? But also, okay, when do you want to see this happen? Should the boy, should the girl, or should both? And a few scenes that are a little more creative, like you get one, if you go one scene, one king is going to happen, if you go another scene, one other king is going to happen. So it's also useful because, you know, maybe people don't have a save file before the scene and they just want to see it again, so they can go to the recollection group and see all the different choices. There isn't a whole lot of choices in the game, but there's some, but people can watch it.
That's great. And if people want to play your game, where can they find you? Like, where do your accounts?
Right now, before I get banned from those places, you can find me on Twitter, and it's also F95. The game is free, so you can find the pinned post on my Twitter, mbarag, with the download link. You can also get it from my fanbox, but if you do that, you're gonna have to use a patch to remove the mosaic. If you just Google me some location, you're gonna find it, thankfully.
Okay, cool. So, if anyone who's listening is... If this game sounds interesting to you, please check it out. And it sounds like you can also support Ocha-kun if you like the game. So please do so if you're into it. And it's been a great episode with you, Ocha-kun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun talking with you about you know, game development and thinking about game design. And I think we had a lot of overlapping thoughts with making games more accessible with their content, especially when it comes to porn games and adult games. You want to make them that make things very obvious, and it does make you think about, like, you know, how is the player going to interact with the game. So I hope your development continues developing. I hope you get those incest scenes in, or more of them. So, yeah, because those are always great.
My biggest regret is not giving the main character a sibling, but it's okay, she has a cozy. And there's also gonna be a little stuff with her father, but not much.
Oh, nice. So there's more to look forward to. So everyone, check their stuff out. if it sounds interesting to you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good luck to your game, and then thank you for being on.
Thank you. I didn't mention that I also have a comic that I'm releasing, but it just has one chapter out, and just very slowly, but we'll get into it. It's a little darker than my game. Like, it's very relaxing, but my comic is about another king that I have that I usually don't see explore very well. I don't know if you there's space for doing sort of that too.
Cool. Is that on your brag?
Yeah,
it is there. I didn't put the entire comic. There were links to read it, I believe. It's in a pinned post as well.
Cool.
It's about humiliation, so it's more on the darker side, on the meaner side, you could say.
Yeah, so that's another thing for people to check out.
Yep. So definitely check out Ochakun's brag, and check out their fan box if you want to support them. And of course, the game is May's Summer Vacation, which apparently you can find on Google, which is pretty funny. but hey, that's an easy way to get to it. But yeah, we'll provide the links.
There was a moment in history that somebody uploaded my game to itch.io, but it was not my game, just my game. We had a modified exe file that actually inserted a virus and a crypto miner into your computer. I just found out because somebody messaged me on Twitter about that. They run a very deep check in it, and apparently, yeah, somebody did that. And it was the first group of results for a while too. If you looked at my game, you would go to Edge and we'll have a virus there waiting for you. Thankfully, after reporting enough times, enough people eventually get to check it. So don't worry, probably the link you'll find on Google will be the right one.
Well, the good thing is that we'll be providing the links in the post on Bereg and also in the video for your episode. So just to make extra sure that people go to the right place and they don't get a nasty virus. So yeah, and what is, so just for the people who are listening through audio, like, what is your username on Bereg?
It's also Ochakun. Everywhere I have Ochakun. Unless I lose the account, I need to make another one. If Ochakun true or not Ochakun.
So that would be O-T-C-H-A-K-U-N, Ochakun.
Yep.
Cool. Check out their game and make sure you're not downloading a virus.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why we always recommend to go with official download links.
Oh, yes, always.
Because, you know, I know some people like the sketchy websites, but they're sketchy for a reason. Always go to the official creator pages, always go to official download links provided on the creator pages so that you don't have like a crypto miner going into your computer or whatever else might happen.
I guess it's almost like a compliment that someone bothered to do that. Like, this game is awesome, but I kind of want to scam people.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it wasn't Edge. Like, water games usually don't last long on Edge.
But yeah, thank you for being on, and you know, I hope you have a great time developing your game and making your comics and making your art.
Yo, I wish you the same. I know you're making the second game now, like, Sexual Awakening 2, right?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know how fine development is, but I'm gonna play you after and done with the first game. So.
Great. Thank you.
Nice.
Wish you the best, too.
Nice. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.